The book of Obadiah, please. The book of Obadiah, coming before the book of Jonah. Coming before the book of Jonah in the Old Testament after Amos. Now this is the shortest book in the Old Testament. Possibly one of the earliest of the prophecies. And is taken up pretty well all with the destruction of Edom. The descendants of Moab. Pardon me, descendants of Esau. Obadiah chapter, verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor or a message from the Lord. An ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou art that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, then shall I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If these came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy all the wise men of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau, and thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In that day, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried thee, carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down. And they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness, for the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and they shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Zarephath, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. God will bless us the reading of his precious word. Now we have in this prophecy, as I mentioned, the mention of the destruction of Edom. You'll find this again over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 39. You'll also find some on the subject in Ezekiel chapter 35. Now you'll know that Edom is a descendant of Esau. We've been hearing a bit today from some of the speakers on materialism. And that was back of Esau, a materialist. Esau really had no time or interest in spiritual things. He was not interested in the future or a future blessing such as a birthright. And he sold it for a morsel of meat to satisfy something of his appetite. Something of a temporal nature was what he was interested in. And that's the danger for every one of us, is to seek to satisfy the present or to satisfy the longings of the flesh. Now, when you think of Esau selling his birthright, a thought of materialism comes to my mind, an atheistic type of view, no time for God or the things of God. Now in this, I want you to notice that Esau is also a type of the flesh, a type of the flesh, whereas a Jacob is a picture of the new man, the new nature. In this chapter, we have Jacob under affliction. Jacob being persecuted by his brother, as it were. And you know, that's something that's constant in your life and my life from the time that we're saved. Now keep that in mind, is that we have the flesh with us as long as we're here in this sea. But it's going to be left off at the coming of the Lord or the day of death. As we see here, God is going to completely destroy Edom. We're completely cut down and nothing shall be left. And we can rejoice that, well, though the flesh is with us today and it's longing to have its way in our lives, remember the day is coming when we'll be through with it forever. Now, I want you to notice here, first of all, the pride of Edom, the security that they had, the pride of Edom. Hear, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And you know, that was a dangerous thing in Edom. And it's a dangerous thing for every one of us, for a man to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Why, each one of us should remember that where we are, where we came from, and where are we going? For dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. How we ought to walk humbly with our God in these days. But Edom knew nothing of that. Edom was very proud. God gave Esau Mount Seir, a great mountain, and they made their caves and their dens in the rocks, in the heights, away up in a place of safety. And in that place, they had security and wealth, and none could attack them. And they felt so secure in that position. And they said, who will bring us down? God says, I'll bring thee down. I will bring thee down. And you know, God has brought them down. In the days of David, in 1 Kings, David pretty well destroyed and wiped out Edom. Except for not all the males, but some, mostly. But you know, they keep rising again. And they keep rising again. Have you ever noticed in your life spiritual progress and you're doing well? And then the flesh comes up again in our lives? Yes, there's that danger of a backsliding condition coming into our life. And we've always got to be careful. Always got to be into the Word of God and before God on our knees. For the flesh, it surely will rise in our lives, and it will get the upper hand if we would just allow just a little carelessness in our lives. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the throne of Judah was occupied by the Herods, descendants of the Edomites. And that Herod the Great would have put to death the Lord Jesus Christ as an infant. Herod Antipas had John the Baptist beheaded, and Herod Agrippa
had James put to death and Peter cast into prison. Why is that? Because Edomites, the descendants of Esau, have been the enemy of the people of God from the time of Esau and Jacob. Why those two were twins and they struggled in the womb, and out of that womb was to come two nations, and those two nations have struggled over the years ever since. And you know, from the time you're born again, there's been a struggle in our life through the old nature, the flesh, and the spiritual. Now remember the danger of giving place to the flesh. Paul takes it up into Galatians 5, and he speaks about the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Go over them. Oh, the danger of any one of them getting its place in our life. But then he goes on to speak of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, how each one of us should long to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and have the upper hand in these things. Paul spoke to the Ephesians about putting off the old man, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right, God says, I'll bring thee down, and there's going to be desolation with Edom forever. And the day is coming when the flesh will have no more place with us. We will have bodies like the bodies of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be changed. Wonderful prospect that lies before us. Now tell me, why was God going to deal so severely with Edom? Why was he going to utterly wipe them out? Because of their pride? No. Because of fornication in the life of Esau? No. Because of other sins in his life? For this one reason it mentions here in verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob. Ah, friends, take notice of that. Because of thy violence against thy brother Jacob. You know, that's what God is looking at. I wonder, how do we deal with our brother? How are we doing with brethren, growing with another? God is going to deal with Edom and Esau because of his dealings with his brother Jacob. Edom, Esau, they dealt violently with Jacob, and God is going to deal violently with Edom. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was in Kenora, Ontario, my hometown. Met a young fellow there, and he called me by name. I said, well, what is your name? And he told me his name. And right away, I said, how is Gary? I knew his brother, worked with his brother. Well, he lives in town, you know. But he said, we haven't spoken for 20 years. He says, something came up, and we just have nothing to do with each other for 20 years now, he says. Well, I thought that's very sad. That's very sad to think two boys from the same womb and 20 years and not speaking. Isn't that sad? Well, friends, today there's going to be judgment on Edom because of how violently they dealt with his brother Jacob. And you know, God does not look lightly on how you deal with your brother. Look at that. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said, he that is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of the judgment. He that saith to his brother, Raca, or vain fellow, is in danger of the council. And whosoever calleth his brother a fool is in danger of hellfire. Just think of those words coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have an uncle who's married to my mother's oldest sister. A man that had no time for God. Over 80 now, but I took the time 6 weeks ago and I raised the question of salvation to him because of his parents. I said, your parents are likely in heaven today. He says, I doubt it. The Bible is read in their home every day. He says, but I doubt if my father's in heaven. He says, the Bible said, if you call your brother a fool, You're in danger of hellfire. I didn't know that he knew that. He said, and I heard my father one day call his brother a fool. Ah, friends, God is very, very clear on that, isn't he? Thank God for the work of his son upon the cross, that there is forgiveness and all sin can be put away through the blood. I remember as boys going out into the street and playing hockey. And I have four of us in the family, four boys. And you know, we were tussling away there, pushing and playing hockey, and didn't one of us call the other a fool? It was just a slip of the net. And we know we said to the other, didn't you remember what Mother read to us this morning? Now what do we do? We didn't know what to do, of course. Once the word has gone out, you can't recall it. What do you do? I knew nothing of forgiveness through the blood. Well, you know that word went out. And you know, once it's gone, what do? Thank God there is forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, friends, today, how is it? How is it amongst the brethren? How is it in your family, amongst your children? You know, I was happy this week to speak with my brother on the phone, to receive a letter from another brother. I was hoping to hear from the other brother. Well, you know, there's so wonderful if there's that relationship that we're on speaking terms one with another. Value your brother. Value your brothers and sisters in your home and also in the assembly. I was in a home one time and two brothers were got into a scrap and they were battling it out. And I begged the parents, stop those two boys. That's not right. Oh, let them beat it out. I said, nothing of the kind. I'm not by business, but I said, that is not right. Those two boys should be separated and they should be told the evil of their ways. I believe that. And I don't know if you disagree or not, but listen, friends, that sort of thing should be stopped immediately. God says he's going to deal violently because of the way Esau, Edom had dealt with Jacob. I want you to notice several things in the next few verses, and you can go over them for yourself. But you'll notice, when Babylon took Jerusalem and Judah, remember, Edom stood by. Edom was right there, and Edom didn't do a thing to help, but it stood by as a mocker, and stood by as an aggressor maybe against her, because I believe that Edom is an oppressor and a suppressor. And I want you to be careful, brethren, that you don't suppress or oppress one another. I see that in communism, is oppressing the people. Keep them down. Don't you oppress your brethren. And if you want a scripture for it, go to 1 Thessalonians 4-6. 4 and 6. Let no man go before and defraud his brother in any matter. That word defraud is oppress or suppress your brother or wrong your brother or take advantage of your brother or to get it over your brother in any matter, whatever. Oh, be careful and cautious on that altogether. For you see, Edom is a suppressing type of people. Be on your guard. It's a picture of the flesh. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, when the children of Israel came to the point, to the land of Edom, God told the children of Israel, take heed to your ways. Walk circumspectly. Be discreetly. Be sober. Why? You're coming up against my brother. No, no. These are really enemies that appear to be brother. Or they're from the same womb, the descendants. Yes, but they're virtually enemies. And God says there, don't meddle not with Edom. Oh, in the meeting tonight, remember, don't meddle with the flesh. Don't meddle with the flesh. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, he said, flee youthful lusts. They war against the soul. That just doesn't mean immorality or running with the other, you know. It just doesn't mean that. It means anything. Anything that could appeal to the flesh. Overindulgence in food. Of pleasure of any kind. Or power. Or position. And these sort of things. This is the sort of thing. Paul says, Peter says, get away from that. And Paul would back him up as well. These things war against the soul. They satisfy the lusts and the cravings of the flesh, but they have no way of helping the spiritual man. None whatever. I want you to notice that Edom, the eye was wrong, the heart was wrong, the mouth was wrong, and the hand was wrong. Look over these few verses there, 12 and 13, and you'll see, in the day that Babylon destroyed, you were there looking on. In the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was put to death upon Golgotha's tree, why, there's a picture of what the flesh will do. They'll say, away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Well, not of this man to reign over us. And they look upon him, whom they pierced. And they just love him. Their flesh just loves to see that kind of destruction. And then notice here, they rejoice over the children of Judah in the day of his destruction. Oh, their hearts were filled with rejoicing in the day that Judah was brought to destruction. I tell you, it's a sad thing when a man or a woman will rejoice when another goes down, or when another gets into financial problems, or problems with his family, or problems in spiritual things. Never rejoice, brethren. We should enter into sadness with them and confess their sin as Daniel did, as though it was our own sin, instead of rejoicing in those kind of things. Why, the heart of Esau was so proud that it rejoiced in the destruction of Judah. And then you'll notice here, they spoke proudly in the day of distress. The mouth was wrong. Why, they spoke terrible. In Ezekiel 35, they spoke wrong against God. Well, you know, when you speak against your brethren, you're really speaking against God. You be careful. He that will love life and see good days, keep your lips from speaking evil, and their tongue that speaks no guile. Yes, he that speaketh evil of his brother, he's not a doer of the law. He becomes a judge of the law. Oh, brethren, evil speaking, it shouldn't be named amongst us. Withhold your words. Once they've gone out, they can't be stopped. But this proud-mouthed people, they spoke out. And you know what? The flesh is in every one of us. Edom, Esau, is in every one of us, as it were. And we're tempted to speak evil against our brother. Well, you know, maybe a lot of what we have to say would be better not spoken. A word fitly spoken are as apples of gold and pitchers of silver. But my friends, most of the talk is idle and evil speaking. How we should judge our words by the tongue, the world of iniquity. Then just notice here, the eye again is mentioned. And then the hands. They laid hands on their substance. Why, when they got to the cross, they shot out the lip against the Lord Jesus Christ, and they mocked him with their words and shouted at him. But think of the hands that were used to apprehend the blessed Son of God and put him to death upon the cross. They pierced his hands and his feet. And here, Edom, they're the people that were escaping. Why, they cut them off. They slew them. Yes, murder was in their heart. When they were done dividing up the land, they were there with the Babylonians to divide it up. And now they were there to slay their own brother, their own people, Israel. And then also them that were left. Why, they wouldn't, they delivered them up to the enemy. The hand was against them. Well, friends, today, how is the hand used? To smite? Or is it a friendly handshake? Something that's warm. Something of God in your handshake and in the words of our mouth. Well, you know, the hand was wrong. And they were out against their own brother, Jacob. Well, you know, it's nice we could shake hands with all the brethren. Nice when that there's that harmony and smoothness about us. But you know, the day is coming when this is going to be returned. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. There's the words spoken here. But you know, down the latter part of the chapter, but unto Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Yes, Israel has been scattered, afflicted, and conquered, but you know, the day is coming, and God is going to gather them home, and God is going to see that they possess their possessions, and there's going to be a complete destruction and wipe out of Edom. In Daniel chapter 11 and 41, why when the kings of the south push up, and the kings of the north come down, Edom and Ammon and Moab will be spared. Why are they spared at that time? Because God says, I will deal with them. I will bring them down. God will deal with them in that day. Oh, now notice then how the house of Jacob is going to rise. The spiritual aspect, the new man. You and I, let us put the flesh in its proper place. Reckon ourselves to be dead with Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself.